Welcome. This year marks 20 years since the launch of the New Hope Project, an anti-poverty initiative that was implemented in two inner-city areas in Milwaukee from 1994 to 1998. The guiding principle of New Hope was that anyone who works full-time should not be poor. It offered low-income people who were willing to work full-time several benefits, including an earnings supplement to raise their income above the poverty level, subsidized health insurance and childcare, and, for people who had difficulty finding full-time work, a referral to a wage-paying community service job. The program had a rigorous evaluation using a large-scale random assignment study. With us today to talk about the findings from New Hope and its lasting significance is Aletha Houston. She's a professor of child development at the University of Texas at Austin and a leading expert in understanding the effects of poverty and social policies on children. She was the lead author of the 5-year impact study of New Hope and, with Greg Duncan, is co-author of the book, Higher Ground, New Hope for the Working Poor and Their Children. She joins us by phone from Austin. Aletha, thanks for being with us. Welcome.
I'm delighted to be here.
I just mentioned some of the main benefits and services that participants were potentially eligible for in the program, but tell us in your words what the New Hope offer was.
The initiative really was an anti-poverty program based on work. The people who developed New Hope didn't think of themselves as doing welfare reform. They thought of themselves as following the philosophy that work is the path out of poverty for people and that you needed to provide them with decent work that paid them a decent wage. So the offer at New Hope was if you work full-time, which they ended up defining as 30 hours a week or more, you were then eligible for a wage supplement if your income fell below a certain level, your earnings, and you were eligible for subsidized health care and subsidized child care if you needed it. The other really innovative thing about the program was that if you could not find a market-based job right away, they offered the opportunity for subsidized jobs. They found nonprofit agencies and whatnot that would employ you at minimum wage, but you were then eligible for all the benefits of New Hope. And you could have those jobs for up to 6 months at a time on two different occasions.
I know the program enrolled about 1,300 individuals, and they were randomly assigned to either a program group and were eligible to receive New Hope services or a control group that wasn't. But the eligibility criteria for the program were fairly wide. You needed to live in one of the two target areas of the city and be near or in poverty, whether you were working or not. Those were the basic requirements to getting into the program.
Yes, any adult, 18 or over, whose income was below 150% of the poverty threshold and who was willing to work, any adult was eligible. So men and women, people with and without children. So that was quite different from most of the welfare programs, which are only for people with children.
And tell us about the role of the staff at New Hope.
Every participant had a project representative in the New Hope office that was there to help them find jobs, get information, whatever they wanted to do. And those people were really good. They were supportive. They were respectful. The participants talked about this a lot, of how it was wonderful to have a place where you were respected, where people were nice to you, where people returned your phone calls, and really were very, very helpful in helping you to achieve your goals.
In terms of the results from New Hope, the impact evaluation looked at both the effects on adults in the program as well as effects on the children of participants. But let's start first with the adults. What were some of the main findings?
There were increases in employment and earnings for the people who came into New Hope without already having a job or having a full-time job. So there were about a third of the people that did have a full-time job when they entered the program. And they didn't change the amount of the economic outcomes. But for those that did not have a job, they did have an increase in employment and an increase in earnings. By about 2 years after the program ended, that difference was much less marked. The experimental and control groups were not very different 2 years after the program ended. If you get a little more specific, then it was the people who sort of had one barrier to really being able to work. For example, they had two or three young kids and they couldn't afford childcare or something. Those were the people that were helped the most. People who had many barriers were less likely to be helped, and people who had none were less likely to be helped because the control group kind of got did pretty well themselves.
So for adults, New Hope increased employment, but the effects diminished after program services ended. A reminder to listeners that the program was a 3-year demonstration project, so one could argue that if the program had continued, the impacts might have as well. So Aletha, tell us now about the effects on the children of participants in New Hope.
The really big effects occurred for the kids. And when we did the evaluation 2 years into the program, the children, according to their teachers in the New Hope group, especially the boys, were achieving at a higher level and had much lower levels of behavior problems and much higher levels of positive social behavior. That was really the big finding, that these were large changes for the boys whose parents were in this program. By the way, these kids were all 10, they were 10 or younger when the program started. So we're talking about younger kids who did better. That was not true for kids who were adolescents when their parents went into the program. I think by then their school trajectories are so already, you know, kind of going down the line that it's very difficult to change things. But the children who were either preschoolers or who were in elementary school when the program started, those boys really did a lot better in the program families.
So to recap, New Hope is a program for adults, but it had some important impacts on the kids of participants. Children of participants performed better than control group children on several measures of academic achievement, particularly in reading and literacy. And as you mentioned, the program also improved children's positive social behavior, especially for boys. What did the research suggest in terms of the reasons behind these positive impacts on kids?
Well, really two things. One is family income increased. And there's a lot of evidence that increases in family income do relate to children's levels of cognitive development and achievement. The second thing is the childcare, because people use the New Hope subsidies to put their children in center-based childcare. And that is typically better quality than the kind of childcare that poor people often get, because they have to sort of patch together neighbors, boyfriends, and other things like that that are really often not particularly good for the kids. We were able to identify those two factors as probably being responsible for the children doing better, income and center-based childcare.
Will you say a little bit more, Aletha, in terms of how income might affect children's outcomes? I could think of a bunch of different ways, but what does the research suggest?
It's probably a lot of things. Certainly, stress affects parenting, and stress runs through the household. And so if you can reduce that, that certainly helps. But it's also the case that people used some of that money to invest in their kids. And they said, well, you used it to pay the rent and pay bills and things like that, which are the sort of necessities. But they also used it for what you might think of as extras, and or some of us wouldn't think of them as extras, like Christmas presents for their kids. Just taking a kid shopping, being able to buy new shoes instead of going to the used place. They talked about feeling like they were part of American culture. You know, they were part of the mainstream that way. And that aspect of the income seemed to make a difference to children's behavior. And of course, then parents can invest in things like educational experiences or athletic equipment so their kids can play Little League or all sorts of things like that are important in children's development and helping them especially to gain some social skills. But we're talking about pretty young kids. So, I mean, if you're talking about kids' behavior problems, we're talking about children who are, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. So it probably gets translated in the parent feels better about herself, and they were most of them, the people who had kids were mostly women. And that then gives the parent a different kind of interaction with the child.
It's worth noting that effects on kids were still present 8 years after their parents entered the program, despite the fact that the program only lasted 3 years. I'd like to ask you one final question, Aletha, which is, what do you think is the lasting significance of New Hope for policymakers or program managers today at the local, state, or federal levels who are trying to address issues of poverty and opportunity in their jurisdictions?
I think partly it's the coordination of all of these things, sort of the one-stop idea, which has been adopted in some places, so that your eligibility and all the things you're dealing with for all the different programs are together and you don't have to be dealing with a bunch of different agencies that have different rules, et cetera, et cetera. So putting it all together and having an agency that offered respect. I mean, one of the New Hope participants said in a group one day, she said, at New Hope, they want you to succeed. At the welfare office, they want you to fail. I think she meant they treat you as though you are a failure. She said, New Hope, you call your project representative and they call you back. You hear over and over again that agencies don't call you back. You can't get hold of anybody and they won't call you back. You have to go there. She said somebody wanted to go to a GED program. Her project representative came up with 4 possible GED programs that she might choose from. So it's that kind of coordinated service, I think, that seemed to matter a lot to people and gave them a sense that somebody believed in them. And again, that did come out in the ethnographic in the interviews. You know, somebody had confidence in me, and it gave me the courage to try something that I might not have otherwise tried.
Aletha Houston, thank you for being with us and for sharing your insights about New Hope.
My pleasure.